Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From iHeart Podcasts, I am Fab Five Freddy, and this is 50 Years of Hip Hop Podcast Series. Born April 16, 1955, Clive Campbell, a.k.a. DJ Kool Herc, is a Jamaican-American DJ recognized for contributing to the development of hip hop music. Herc is considered a founding father who played an integral part in rap's beginnings. DJ Kool Herc was a part of laying the first building blocks. That's right, the foundation of hip-hop, known for hosting parties in his building at 1520 Cedric Avenue. Back in August 11, 1973, that's when he gave the first party. Him and his sister, Cindy Campbell, it was a back-to-school jam. And DJ Kool Herc, he was the DJ and the MC that got that party going and flowing. And a lot of other early cats that would go on to blow up and become major influences and forces in hip-hop, they were at that party too. That's how this whole hip-hop thing starts to roll and take control. Grandmaster Caz, rapper extraordinaire, songwriter, and DJ, member of the legendary hip-hop group, the Cold Crush Brothers.
They got a rec room inside the building where they live at. A rec room is a room that everyone in the building has access to. Some people call it a community room. All right. So if the building's having a bake sale or whatever, they have it in a community room. If they're having a tenant meeting or whatever, they have it in the community room. So Cindy wanted to throw a party in there, make a couple of dollars for some school clothes. They charge 25 cents for girls, 50 cents for guys. And a lot of people are purported or were purportedly in that particular party. But as Kool Herc himself will tell you, that's not the truth. Okay. 1520 Cedric Avenue is a residential apartment building, but that rec room only hold about 80 people. Okay. 100 if you dance real close together. And that don't count the room for the equipment and everything else. So yeah, it's a small space, and it was basically family and friend orientated. No, I wasn't here. I was too young. Okay. But I caught the vibe up the block, and just living two blocks away, you know, we got the word firsthand, whatever went on. Like the older kids from the block would go to Kool Herc parties. So our block would clear out. And everybody like, yo, what's up? What y'all going? Where y'all going? You know, we shorties. What's up? Where y'all going? What y'all doing? Oh, we going to Kool Herc party. We going to Kool Herc party. And all the cool dudes and all the fly girls go down to Kool Herc party. And we just left on the block. You know, so that's when I went upstairs and got my turntable. I'm like, well, I'm going to play like Kool Herc too. Herc was known, you know, for playing basketball. My older cousin, Butchie, used to play basketball with Kool Herc down at Roberto Clemente State Park. that's another way that I knew of him. But as far as the party is concerned, it was just like this name, you know, this image, almost like godlike. You know what I mean? Cool Herc. You know, back then, people take it for granted now, you know, because we're around the same age. We're about 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years in age apart. When I was 13, 14 years old, Kool Herc was God. If you love hip hop, if you love music, if you love break dancing, then Kool Herc was God.
Grand Wizard Theodore, pioneering hip hop DJ, credited as the inventor of the scratching technique.
Kool Herc came over from Jamaica. When he came here from Jamaica, he had to Americanize himself. He had to get used to this culture here. And that's when he met Kokla Rock. And Kokla Rock introduced Herc to the culture. Then once Herc started playing music, he had the big giant speakers. He had the big throwing turntables. So Herc played a major, major part in hip hop. You know, people come to his parties or come to his block parties. And I remember when I first went to one of Herc block parties, he was on 169th Street and Washington Avenue. And when I came and seen those big giant speakers and the way those speakers sound, I was just mesmerized, man. And Herc was like, he looked like he was like 10 feet tall, you know? And the system sound is so nice, man. And that's what the memories that I had of Kool Herc. And I'm just so glad that I was able to experience that. And then going to see the twins dancing, and then, you know, all the people hustling in the park, hustling in the, you know, Kool Herc play a major, major part, this art form, this culture that we call hip hop.
Now, when Kool Herc and his sister Cindy gave that first party back in 1973 in their building at 1520 Cedric, what he did was not yet called hip hop. But once again, he laid those important first bricks in the foundation of what grew to hip-hop music today. And also because Kool Herc came from Jamaica, the birthplace of reggae and dancehall music, a close cousin to the rapping part of hip-hop, these forms developed almost simultaneously, yet independent and unaware of each other. But they were both largely influenced by black radio DJs. Jamaican sound system DJs, they can tune in on a late night to radio stations from New Orleans and Florida that would make it over to the island of Jamaica. Yeah, that was the biggest inspiration down there. And DJs like Coxon Dodd and Lee Scratch Perry and those guys took it to the next level as the first producers of reggae music. Grand Mixer DXT, one of the earliest to use turntables as a musical instrument and the first turntablist.
We call Herc the father because he gave us a platform. He gave us a space to do what we do. And he kept feeding us the music, the dancers. You know, he was much older. He could have went to all the crowds and played for them. He stayed with us. That's why we call him the father. And so again, it's a B-boy story. We went to Herc's parties because he was playing hit records that the radio didn't play. They were hits for us, but the radio wasn't played. And some of those records were new. They weren't old. They were new records. And his playlist spoke to the dancers. And so he played that music that we danced to.
Russell Simmons, record executive and entrepreneur.
Cool DJ Herc is the founding father. He is the person who is most responsible and most visible as the godfather of hip-hop. That is a party in 1973 that documents for us for now and probably forever the founding date for hip-hop. His party, that flyer. And he had a rapper, Kokla Rock is Cool DJ Herc's rapper, if I'm not mistaken. And he was said to be the first rapper, and Kool Herc was said to be the first hip-hop DJ. So we created hip-hop as a response to being locked out of, you know, or have to create all, because they f***ed up our music as they had every generation before us. And so we created hip-hop.
Peter Guns, hip-hop artist and Bronx representative.
Kool Herc was, you know, I was 4 years old when Kool Herc was doing that thing. So from the godfathers and the people I grew up with under Grandmaster Caz, he explained to me that Herc was, you know, bringing the system out and, you know, DJing, doing what other people weren't doing. And he set the stage for Flash, Bambaataa. A lot of people don't like, you know, at this point, understandably so, give Bambaataa his flowers, but you got to give credit where credit is due, whether you like to or not. Bambaataa plays a very big part in this culture. I grew up across the bridge. I'm from 174th Vice. That's right across the bridge, literally, called Bronx River Projects. That's where Bambaataa was set off. And as far as all the legends I talk to, give Bambaataa a lot of props too, just as well as Kool Herc. They give Bambaataa his props as well.
He is one of the main innovators of what we all do. His innovation is chewing out loud that we call scratching. There are no creations and inventions in hip hop. They're all innovations. Kool Herc is the main reason why most of us are doing what we're doing. Because what he did was he created the platform for us to reconnect to that energy. Hip hop doesn't start in the Bronx. It starts in a people. It is not from the Bronx. It's from a people. And so here we are.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's amazing to me that it's been 50 years since hip-hop was born in the boogie-down Bronx. Hip-hop's foundations were being laid in the 1970s, brick by brick, by mobile DJs playing disco and other forms of Black music all over the city. But it was at 1520 Sedgwick Avenue, an apartment building in the Morris Heights neighborhood of the Bronx, New York City, the location respected and historically believed to be the birthplace of hip-hop. Underneath the grit, grime, and spreading violence, a new form of music was created, while large parts of the Bronx was abandoned, burned, and forgotten. Welcome to the Bronx, New York in the 1970s.
Pretty much back in summer of 77, one of the hottest summers on record here in New York City, there was a blackout. At the time of the blackout, I was playing in a park. I was battling a crew, the Master Plan Bunch. We were set up side by side and in the same park where we filmed Wild Style. Okay, EBB Park. We about to go in. So I set up my records, boom, boom. And I mean, put the first one on, the intro. Like, yeah, okay, I'm about to get it right now. I got my next joint. The next joint I'm about to drop is going to bust y'all in the head. Y'all might as well pack up and leave once this drop. Okay, gave it a little zigger zigger. Boom, brought that shit in. That shit said, motherfucking turntable cut off. Then the other turntable cut off. Then the mixer cut off. Then the amps cut off. And then I looked over at them. They cut off too. And then I'm looking up at the light poles in the street. And one by one, every light pole in the street is going out. One by one. Not all together. One by one. Poof, 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 poof. Till the whole street was dark. Now we all standing around. The crowd is buzzing like, what the fuck is going on? And everybody got the realization at the same time. Oh, shit. Blackout! Hit the stores! Yeah, I was purported to have, you know, gotten some ill-gotten gains out of the blackout. Okay, maybe so, but not a lot. You know, actually, one piece. I got one piece out of the place where I bought my first set of DJ equipment, which I think they overcharged me for anyway, so I just was getting back some of that. I got a mixer. The whole thing was trying to get the fuck out of that park. All right, it was pandemonium going on in the streets, and everybody was just, you seen people walking down the street with couches and furniture, and I mean, it was crazy.
I remember back when them riots went down in 77, man, it was crazy. It was a heat wave in New York City. People were already outside all day, all night, all the time, because very few people in the hood had any kind of air conditioning. But yeah, man, it was crazy back in 77 when the lights went out. People went to go get what they never could have access to. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of DJs were created after the blackout in 1977, man. A lot of people helped themselves to recording equipment at some of those major stores back then. And at the same time, devastating a lot of neighborhoods citywide. But it was a big growth to the development of hip-hop music. Fat Joe, recording artist, Bronx hip-hop legend, and author.
You know, at that time, it wasn't much gun violence. You know, crack wasn't out just yet. So it was really family-oriented. We were really, really poor, but nobody knew what they was missing. Everybody protected each other. Coming in the Bronx, I mean, it looked like a war zone. And you would have to put pictures and slides up of this. Fat Five Freddy was there. And it looked like they bombed the whole Bronx. The Bronx looked like Ukraine. Don't ask me why. We didn't have parks. We would have like pissy mattresses and we would jump on mattresses and play with stray dogs. But, you know, most of all, we had family. You know, the drug element didn't destroy black and brown households like it would in the future. You know, the drugs split up the family. The father went to jail or got killed. You raised with your grandmother. It was still a family oriented. And even though we didn't have much, it was like community, village. You did something to a little girl out there, the whole fucking hood of you up.
The state of what things were, you know, single parent homes, man. People were using drugs on the streets. Gang activity everywhere. The government didn't want to put no more money back into the city. I remember Ronald Reagan came to the Bronx and standing in the rubble, and people were screaming and yelling at him, telling him, like, why does this place look like this? Then you had people coming from Vietnam, because I know my uncle was in Vietnam. People were trying to find jobs. It was like the state of New York was like really a mess, man. We had a lot of things, man, that was against us, man. And we basically had to rise up from that. It was hard, man. It was really hard. And that's why I feel the DJ turned to music, the MC turned to lyrics and rhymes, the B-boys turned to B-boying and getting that energy out of them, and the graffiti artists started painting on the trains and stuff like that. I started seeing like Casper the Friendly Ghost and Spider-Man and Superman and all these pretty murals, man, on the train, man. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. You know, so a lot of people was trying to do something to take their minds off of everything that was going on in the city. And that's how hip hop was reinvented, man.
And you know, I just want to set the scene for what it was really like in the streets back then, you know? I mean, for young folks, you know, this was pre-cell phone, pre-video game, pre-PlayStation, all that stuff that we deal with now. I mean, you went outside and you played street games like Skelly, Ring-a-Livio, handball, punchball, stickball. Girls was jumping rope and playing hopscotch. I mean, that's how you spent a lot of your time. But in the Bronx, yo, landlords, particularly in the South Bronx, they were burning the buildings down to collect the insurance money. I remember there was a World Series game at Yankee Stadium in 1977, and while watching the Yankees play the World Series, you can see fires glowing in the night sky in the Bronx. It was really, really bad.
I didn't realize just how f***ed up it was until I got older. But as a kid growing up, it was rough. Bronx was burned down. You know, at one point, my building was the only building on the block that wasn't burned. They start burning the Bronx down.
Ladder 4-9, we got a 6-story brick fire in the first floor. Okay, no engines here. Go to the rescue car. Is any engine company in the Bronx available?
So, in the 70s, you know, I was a child, but I remember, you know, the Bronx burning in the late 70s. The Bronx looking crazy, man. Especially where I grew up at, 174 Vice Avenue. If you go back and look at the footage, that's where the president came and was like, Jimmy Carter came to the Bronx and was like, I can't believe this is New York City. This is America. New York at that. It looked like a third world country. He was in shock. That was literally two blocks away from where I'm born and raised at. So it was rough, but at the same time, it built you for anything. And to watch hip hop flourish out of those ashes, you know, I watched the shit come out, make nothing, you know, come from nothing. Tagging, graffiti on trains, breakdancing, electric boogie. All that was just a culture that, you know, made you kind of escape what your reality was. Your reality wasn't that great, but those park gyms, those cardboard boxes down, I was spinning on my back and all that. So, it you know, the Bronx, that culture was raised out of those ashes. And when people talk about hip hop, people only think about the music side of it. There's a whole culture, you know. So I hate when people debate what started the whole culture, you know what I mean? And you mix that in, you lump that in with the rest of it, salsa and all that stuff. That's the BX. We made this $1 trillion business from ashes.
Kid Capri, Grammy Award winning DJ and producer.
I can tell you this, in the Bronx, if you go on my side of the Bronx, it was the good side. You go to the South Bronx, everything was tore down. It looked like a war zone. If you went down in Harlem, a lot of those buildings was so abandoned. Everything, a whole line of buildings abandoned. You know, and at the time, nobody thought about buying these buildings that was costing a dollar. Now, the gentrification came in and all those buildings is built up worth millions of dollars. Nobody was thinking. At the time, yeah, it was, if you go to the South Bronx, it was dangerous, very dangerous, you know. What they show is the truth. It's, you know, fortunately, I didn't live on that side. I lived on the other side. I lived on the Kingsbridge side. So, you know, we would walk to these places and see, because we walked a lot back in the days, you know. We would walk to South Bronx and Southern Boulevard and all those places where a lot of buildings was, you know, burnt down and, you know, abandoned, and just see it. And when you live in that, you're going to get crime. You're going to get there because people have no way out. This is all they see. They wake up to this. They go to sleep to this every day. All they know is that. They don't see nothing bigger. You know what I'm saying? So you get crime. You don't get nobody coming to the rescue to make sure the city is taken care of. And it goes on for years until somebody does something. But for all those years, people were in distress because there was no way out.
I mean, yeah, the South Bronx looked like people had dropped mad bombs on it. You know, like it was a war zone. It looked like a war zone. But once again, the South Bronx looked really bad back then. Like people had dropped bombs all over the place. There were huge apartment buildings on most of those blocks in the Bronx. There was rarely a block that had all the buildings intact and fully operated. It was a real shocking scene.
The Bronx is the lowest on the totem pole as far as education, as far as if you look it up, especially in my zip code 10460, where I was born and raised, that, you know, lowest in the country in education and the lowest income in the country as well. It's poor, it's f***ed up, it still is bad, and it's always been. So to come from a spot where they expect you to not succeed at all, you know, death, jail, or just die poor or a drug addict, to see the flowers that grew out of the circumstances that you were put in, it means everything, bro. You know, me being from the Bronx, I'm going to say maybe they wouldn't be the hip-hop. You know, it's because it's a culture. Who knows? You know what I mean? But one thing we know for sure is if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on.
And also, street gangs dominated a lot of neighborhoods in the Bronx back then. Crazy street gangs that wore wild outfits and colors and, you know, names like the Savage Skulls, Savage Nomads, the Ghetto Brothers, Black Spades, the Javelins dominated some of these neighborhoods. Real wild, crazy, dangerous stuff. You ever seen the movie Warriors? Yo, this was the real deal.
The Bronx, we was burnt buildings. We were like, you know, don't go to the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? You may not make it out of the Bronx. And to create something so great. I remember telling Herc one time, Kool Herc, I hope you didn't think it was going to stay in the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? It's too big now. Now it's where it is. The sad thing is that the people that came before don't get the credit or get the recognition or the money that came later. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're my hero, because they didn't get what I've gotten or what people came and gotten after me, or, you know, but they're the ones that built it from the ground up. So when you speak on where it came from, the Bronx, you got to speak on who's the ones that made it, who lifted it. Kaz and Melly Mel and Furious, all those dudes. You can't speak on hip hop and say nothing without mentioning them, because they're the ones that gave you a job. You know what I'm saying? You have a job and you rich and you're a billionaire and all those things because of what these dudes do. So now with your billions that you have, how do you not go back and set up something for these dudes to get money for themselves?
I feel like a lot of people might feel like, oh yeah, y'all started it, but we took it next level and we did whatever people find it. But that's what it's for. Well, I love that. I love that you take it and do your thing with it. You know what I mean? But please don't forget where it started at, man. And don't forget, you know, pay a little more homage, show a little more love. I see a lot of people out there debating whether, you know, the culture started here. And that annoys me. Just pay homage. You know what I mean? It don't cost you nothing to pay homage. You know what I mean? That shot was fired out the South Bronx, brother.
I lived 5 minutes away from Herc, from Kool Herc. Lived on Cambridge Terrace. He lived on Cedar Avenue. His building 1520. Cedar Park was right next to it. Katona Park was on the other side of the Bronx. You know, so I was right there up the street from where Herc was at. And at the time, as a young kid, I didn't realize that it was the Bronx that started it until I started hearing the tapes, started, you know, getting a little older and started learning things. And, you know, but I was right there, you know what I'm saying? And being there at the time it started and just getting there right before it started and being a part of it, you know, it's a big thing for me, because it wasn't something like it was a bandwagon thing I jumped on. Not saying anybody else jumped on the bandwagon, but it was something I was at the core of it, right at the beginning of it. That's why my movie is called Mr. Every Ever, because I was through every ever of it. I seen every ever.
You know, at first it was like, I didn't feel like it was being given up to the Bronx. I felt like, damn, do they even know where this started at? Because you got to remember, besides KRS-One and Fat Joe and a few others, Slick Rick, they don't want to give us Slick Rick because they always say London, but no, Slick was raised in the Bronx. You know, so we didn't have the rappers, you know, all the hot rappers, all the dudes that was popping was coming from Queens and Brooklyn and, you know, this Staten Island and, you know, Harlem and all that. So I think people forgot. And that's what inspired me to do that hook that the whole world started singing at one point.
This rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from. Uptown, baby. We get down, baby. For the crown, baby. Now, if it wasn't for the Bronx, if they emphasized that 2-3 times on that hook, like, yeah, they paved the way. But, you know, I might say one of the most controversial answers of this interview, somebody else would have did it. If the Bronx ain't did it, somebody else would have did it. Our people are so beautiful, man, and they so innovative and visionaries that somebody else would have did it. You know what I'm saying? So the Bronx started the foundation.
If it would have started in Atlanta, who knows? But it needed to start in the Bronx because the Bronx was the monk in mud. It was like you're at the bottom. You know what I'm saying? So something great had to happen. Manhattan was always known for getting money. Good or bad, whether it's drug dealing or whatever it is, Matt was mad. Queens, they got beautiful houses out there, beautiful landscaping. Brooklyn, wildish, but biggish. So it was a lot of money in Brooklyn. The Bronx burnt the down. Facts. Harlem was burnt down, but the whole Manhattan, you know, even when it burnt down, they didn't get money. Let me say, you know, whatever. But the Bronx, you know, so something great had to happen, and hip-hop was it.
On the next episode of 50 Years of Hip-Hop podcast series, we look at the DJ's essential role in the creation of rap music and find out who really coined the term hip-hop. This episode has been executive produced by Dolly S. Bishop, hosted and produced by your boy, Fab Five Freddy, produced by Aaron A. King Howard, edit, mix, sound by Dwayne Crawford, music scoring by Trey Jones, talent booking by Nicole Spence.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.